Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 77, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah. The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries!
Fuck them! It's Thursday, April 11th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Brian, Mr. O'Brien, Mr. Jack O'Brien, hosting Zeitgeist. That is courtesy of Soltis Hannah, hashtag Star Wars, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Boom, 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 boom. Don't show Miles. Bird eating spiders.
Yeah, you already know that's to the tune of Lowrider, and yeah. Thank you to at Snarky De Saad for that AKA.
Do not show them to him.
I mean,
he will
I like
the fuck out.
I actually like the bird eating spiders videos. They're just so fucking wacky to me that I can only help but scream as I look in horror.
Oh my god. Well,
but yeah,
we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian performer and the multi-talented host of my favorite podcast, Lunch Up the Jam, Miel Bredeau.
Thank you.
What's up?
I didn't know I was supposed to make a song for my name.
No, it's okay. You make enough songs already.
Oh, thank you for seeing
you
me.
You have done your duty on the song making.
Yeah, and then we eat away at that with our
right.
terrible
yeah. every time. You are the yang to our yin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've always said that.
Yes, we are the eaters of light, and you are the creators of light.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. On Punch Up the Jam. Can you tell people real quick who aren't regular listeners of the Daily Zeitgeist what Punch Up the Jam is?
Yeah. It's a podcast where me and Demi Adejuwibe unpack a popular song you probably know and have opinions about, and we talk about it and we try to understand it, and then at the end we debut our new and improved version.
And you guys
every week.
Yeah, every week.
Yeah.
You guys write really great songs, or great like takes on the songs, but you also like make me re-fall in love with a lot of songs that I already liked, but like Take On Me is now like next level, like my top five favorite songs of all time.
It's
now.
Like beautiful.
After because you like hear the layers isolated and shit, and it's really
except for that one
amazing.
Space Spiders part. It's a very perfect song.
Which freaks you out.
No. That's bird eating spiders for me, man. I don't like that.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that video of a spider eating a bird?
I have.
You've been on the internet before, right?
I'm a connoisseur, I would say. I surf the web.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners just a few of the things we're going to talk about. Of course, we're going to talk about the photograph of a black hole that was devouring the internet yesterday, like a black hole almost. We're going to talk about why it's time to stop making yogurts, guys. Stop making new yogurts. I've been saying it for years.
Yeah.
I'm glad somebody's finally backing me on this.
Andy Rooney's going to
enough with the new yogurts. We're going to talk about Bernie's Medicare for All bill, which has been unveiled. We're going to talk about Ron DeSantis actually not being as terrible as we would have expected on the environment in particular and only. We're going to talk about the new anti-abortion movie Unplanned that is taking box offices by storm, I guess. More of a late rain. It's number 4 at the box office, but that's still big for a movie that nobody should have seen. We're going to talk about Trump's 2020 campaign video that he retweeted that was immediately taken down because it violated copyrights. Game of Thrones is a-coming, and we're going to talk about that and a number of other things. But first, Mia, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are? Clear that throat.
Yeah, utility kilt.
Utility kilt.
Shit.
Just like slammed with Google images of utility kilts.
Okay. Now, I associate kilts with not utility. I associate them with,
fancy occasions.
Fancy occasions and tradition.
Yeah.
Than utility.
There was like a brief window, I want to say, and maybe still continues. If you're a utility kilter, let me know. But I remember it being like specifically 2003 to 2006 in which it became like a big thing for like the most macho of men to wear utility kilts. It's like a kilt, but for someone that like builds bikes.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, so I'm looking
tool
at
tool belt with kilt.
Yeah, and I just kept thinking that was pretty tight.
Right.
That like we were able to get big dudes in skirts and they like liked it and were proud of it.
Yeah.
And I just kind of craved another moment like that in fashion.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be sick if we could get like some big dudes in tube tops?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think we're ready. I'm ready.
I think the dudes I saw rocking this were aggressively LA, like aggressively from LA.
Yeah, and yeah. They had like a shop on Abbot Kinney or something.
Yes,
yeah.
I saw it on Abbot Kinney. I've seen this.
Hell yeah.
And probably somebody who worked at a bike store.
Right.
So you guys have both completely nailed it. But yeah, that is pretty dope. Did people wear them without anything underneath? Like what are they?
Ooh, great question.
Are jeans underneath the utility kilt?
No, I mean, underwear probably.
Right.
If I had
okay.
to guess.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Right.
Can't speak to it. Never checked.
Maybe those like athletic tights that
sure.
people are rocking. Maybe that would be okay.
It's funny because I knew people like who had Scottish heritage.
Right.
Who, like that was their entry point into wearing a skirt because they're like, well, I'm Scottish, you know. So I,
right.
Yeah.
So it's not weird.
Right.
Right.
Like, it was yeah, weird.
What if I told you? It's just not weird. And
right,
maybe
yeah.
we should all be dressing the same. Wouldn't that be cool? Isn't that the future liberals want?
It looks super comfortable.
That's what I'm saying.
That is definitely the future that people who aren't liberal think liberals want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just the cucked dudes are going to be wearing
cucked
skirts.
Dudes wearing skirts around.
Also, my problem is my fucking thighs are so massive.
I was just
massive.
About to say.
I'd be
thigh rubbage.
I burn holes in my jeans.
Ooh, so, okay? Wait, would that be?
So if I'm kilt, baby, I don't have to worry about
it'd
that.
It'd be better, right?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. We should be allowed to dress for comfort. I personally want to wear XXXXL hoodies, no pants. That's my look.
Oh, shit.
That's okay, what I'm so moving
hoodie
towards.
Dress?
Yes.
Like a Vetements one, like the OD. Bagginess.
Exactly.
There was a poll off a very, very cursory Google search. I just put like, hey, what are you wearing under a kilt? And the respondents, Scottish adults who have worn a kilt, 315 people, they polled 55% wear underwear, 38% wear nothing.
Wow, okay. Brave.
7%
yes. brave
shorts
heart.
Or others.
Oh
yes.
Yeah, shorts or others. Okay.
Yeah, so some people are wearing shorts. That would look weird, though.
If you could see it.
Yeah, I would be like, yo, is that guy wearing just cargo shorts underneath his kilt?
he's just not there yet.
Yeah, right.
This is a stepping stone.
You would have to be doing like gymnastics to see that. Like, I'm guessing you're not seeing. Oh no, cargo shorts. Sorry, I was picturing like biker shorts.
Oh yes. I would probably rock just a beautiful thong.
Well, hey, while we're on the subject though, Miles has been talking about how he wants to bring cargo shorts back.
No, yeah. Miles, no.
No, Jack B, don't be disingenuous.
Jargos,
jean cargo shorts.
Yeah.
For nah. what reason?
He's fucking with me.
Oh, thank God.
No, he's not. See, you signed an NDA. When I came with you with that investment opportunity
right.
to get on the ground floor of my Jargo company, I was not expecting you to just drag out all the business on the podcast like this.
Somebody was talking about, on last podcast on the left, they were talking about jean bikinis or jean briefs.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, I don't want that
oh,
to happen.
Oh, yeah, what the
is that happening?
No, that's got to be a joke.
Stop. Yeah.
Who would wear that?
There's a wave for everything. I mean, remember when the romp hem was a thing for a second?
Yeah, but yeah. we need to be moving towards comfort. That's my point.
Right.
Towards
okay.
comfort, not away.
Wait, yeah. So on your spectrum of not uncomfortable and comfort, what
yeah.
are the two extremes? Like, what is extreme comfort and what is extreme discomfort?
Okay,
in terms
extreme
of clothing?
Discomfort is an underwire bra and tight jeans.
Okay.
Non-stretch.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Woof.
Like, like raw
shit.
Denim.
Woof, dude.
Yeah.
Why is that
denim.
So popular? It
I don't
hurts.
Know. Yeah.
And then extreme comfort is like a full-on sweatsuit.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
no,
or
bra.
Like a muumuu made out of like, what do we call that? Like terry fleece. You know what I mean? Like a hood, like a sweatshirt,
muumuu. Like 2002.
Yeah, just wear a cape. I had this wave that I was on for a while. I sleep in my underwear.
Yeah,
and like in the winter months, I still don't wear clothing. Mm. I just like to sleep in my underwear. And then if I'm up early, I have like a throw blanket on my couch. I've learned to like wrap in this really dope fleece blanket poncho.
So you swaddle yourself like
a
baby.
I swaddle myself, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to me, that is my extreme of like the most comfortable thing.
You could wear that out.
I would need
just
a longer
a giant
one.
Blanket.
Put a
yeah.
belt on it. It's
yeah.
an outfit.
Oh, yeah,
just
that's cinch
high
it
fashion
at the waist.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cinch it.
Some cool sneakers. Yeah. That's like a good look.
Right?
Mia, what is something you think is overrated?
Okay, I think shaving your legs is overrated.
Okay.
I'm over it. It makes your legs so dry. You have to moisturize so much. It takes. You have to do it every day.
Yeah.
I'm just bored. I'm done.
Okay.
But what I find underrated definitely conflicts with that, and that I think it's underrated to shave your whole face.
Your whole face.
I recently started shaving my whole face.
Okay.
And it feels so good.
Oh, really?
It's so smooth. I have to use half as much lotion because it's not getting stuck on the hair. It's so gratifying to just watch the peach fuzz fall off.
Oh, wow.
I love it. I'm a big fan.
Are there like, is it an urban myth like you're not supposed to shave your peach fuzz or it comes back stronger
like
than ever?
Thick whiskers.
I think what the truth is in that is that cutting it gives it a blunt edge. But once you've ever cut it, I think that's true. And I'm
right.
sure I've.
Who knows? I'm sure some peach fuzz person knows.
Truthers.
The truth.
Yeah. And you're like
you're stripping your hair, you're stripping your face of protective layers.
It's probably bad, but it feels good.
You're like a light complected person, though, so you don't have to worry about that peach fuzz coming back as thick black hairs coming out from like
your
under eyelids or whatever.
I will say getting older, the mustache is darkening. It is. It's getting thicker. So another reason why shaving my whole face is kind of a fun thing for me now.
Right.
Despite we'll see how long
many
it lasts.
Times I shave, I still get this like weird patchy Johnny Depp hair.
Yeah.
I blame my Japanese side for that.
But hey.
Because on my dad's side, motherfuckers are rocking beards.
Yeah, maybe as you get older, they'll go thicker.
I don't know. I'm like 34 and I have a preteen like beard face. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like Keanu Reeves.
I know. But you know what? Fine. You know, I'll look young forever.
Yeah.
You know?
That's definitely not a bad thing. trust me.
Yeah, but you know what, Jack? You have beard privilege.
I do have beard privilege.
I look all the time. Like there's a certain point. If it grows in evenly, you can rock it and still kind of like, oh, that's rugged.
Yeah.
There have been times people have literally asked me if I was okay.
Oh, that's so mean.
But not even like in a shitty way. Like,
right.
Like
that makes it worse.
In college, they're like,
are you taking a vitamin?
Is everything okay?
Because they think that you had a full beard and like pieces of it are falling out.
I don't know,
like,
just
from radiation poisoning. Because
like, there was a time. Oh my god, I did Movember like a few years ago. And that was such a fucking nightmare. People just laughed when I worked at Power 106. People were growing like real beards and shit. I came in and people were like.
You could just do what Karamo did in the first season of Queer Eye and paint it on.
Oh, damn.
You notice that?
I know, yeah.
It's gone now.
Yeah, I know.
I like that it's gone
now. Paint
but,
it.
So just to make it clear to everyone, you are not saying shave your whole face, including eyebrows.
I leave my eyebrows, but you don't have to. Fuck
you don't
it. Have
some
fun.
It is an aggressive look, though.
Go nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, to go eyebrowless?
Sure.
Whoopi's been rocking that.
I know.
That guy from fucking NoHo Hank on Barry, you guys watching that? He makes it look good.
Yeah.
I kind of want to shave him. Oh, well. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Next time I'm on. That's
just
what I'll
do. Some makeup first. Do some Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly.
Test drive it like that.
See what it looks like. Mm-hmm. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Okay, so everyone says bees die when they sting you, but that's only honeybees.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
And that's a lesson that you learn the hard way.
Oh, no.
That's a shitty lesson.
Oh, so is it the idea that a honeybee, like once the stinger is removed, then like the countdown to death begins for a honeybee?
So like honeybees, when they sting you, the stinger stays in you, and as they leave, their whole guts stay there too. So they just
like
eviscerate
themselves
right. Yeah, on you. And like it's the ultimate sacrifice to protect the honey, but like wasps and other types of bees,
right.
They can just go fucking nuts on you.
Yeah. I've gotten stung like 8 times by the same wasp. It's
See, that's
terrible.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, it
there
sucks.
Needs to be more awareness about
yeah.
this.
Yeah, he's he's been bullied by the same wasp.
Yeah,
for
his
4
wasp
months
been following
now.
Me
he created
around,
all
like,
these Twitter accounts.
It's always just chilling on his doorstep and being like, "Oh, you're back early from work,
oh,
huh?
Look oh, look who's home.
Oh, got a Band-Aid on the last thing, huh? Would it hurt?"
I have not been stung. I realize I still don't like walking in grass without shoes on because I stepped on a wasp or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
When I was like 3, and I'm still just
really
like fucked up from it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. Every
PTSD is real, guys.
Every time I've been stung by a bee, it's been like I've stepped on a dying bee or batted my hand or put my hand on a surface where there was like a bee in the process of dying that just stung me.
So, well, that's actually kind of sad.
The last time, the one I got was on the bottom of my foot. This shit is the worst.
I know.
Probably
you were
one of the
limping
worst.
For like a
At
week.
At the beach?
Yeah. No, in my backyard.
Oh, no.
Because I don't
came
like
to you.
I don't like shoes, you know, so I run the risk.
Crazy. Yeah.
StockX would beg to differ.
I mean, I like shoes when I'm out, but I'm saying like when I'm at home.
Just
know,
throw them off right away.
Growing up at Asian house, you don't wear shoes, so I never
it's
wear
nasty.
Shoes in the house. Yeah,
it's gross to wear shoes inside. I hard agree with you.
I only wear shoes because society says I have to, and the manager at McDonald's who won't serve me, so I rock the heat on my feet.
Do you have slippers at like every doorstep?
I have some. You know, I'm rocking some Kyrgyz right now. You know,
okay.
The Kyrgyz wool. You know what I mean? If y'all want to check out those slippers.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, no, I have like one pair of house shoes.
Okay.
You know? Mm. And that's how I live my life.
Guys, and before we get to the amazing discovery of a black hole, finally, an important step for humankind, we have some breaking news. Super producer Nick Stumpf stopped us in our forward motion in this podcast to let us know that there was a woman who went to the hospital with eye pain, and it was discovered that she had 4 live bees feeding on her tears.
In her eyelid.
In her eyelid.
What the fuck?
That just seems like a random, like, dream logic nightmare that you would have.
Also,
like, that doesn't seem possible.
The most patient fucking person I've ever heard of.
How'd they get in? Did they climb in it when she was sleeping?
I don't know. That's where I'm like, yo, if you have bees living in your eye, you might be like, yo, hold on, let me pull up my eyelid.
Right.
And be like, okay, motherfucker, rent's due.
How do they get them out?
I don't know. Flushed them out or something?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Jesus. Oh, God.
We're getting word in that the doctor slowly pulled him out with a microscope one by one. Oh, so they were microscopic.
Small
what
sweat
the fuck's
bee.
A sweat bee?
Those are like the little ones that zip around you.
It's a tear bee now.
Yeah. Tear bee, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The sweatiest part of your body? Your eyeball.
Ew, I hate that that's true.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you for just upsetting me for no reason. I'm so glad I did this podcast. God.
That's why I tell people I'm just sweating through my eyes every time I just burst into tears.
Yeah, you're like, no, I'm sorry. If I'm telling the truth, this wasp is bullying me.
That's why when I talk about how sweaty I am, that's what I'm referring to, guys.
I just don't get I'm still kind of upset at somebody who didn't know they have 4 bees living in their eye.
I'm like kind of proud of the bees.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to the bees for
sure. Yeah. The bees.
They
should
have a screenplay written about them immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Like
someone option that.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone
the
call
bee
Orin.
Movie sequel, baby. We got it.
But that is some definite, like, in America, if there is a fly anywhere within 3 feet of your face, like, we, like, swat at it, we freak out.
Right.
But, like, in other countries that have a lot more insects, like, they're just like.
Well,
like,
yeah, you're sort of. You're more used to insects flying around
right.
you, so it's less of a... Like,
enough to the point that 3-4 bees can take up.
Sounds like an AOL chain letter from like early on.
Forward
like,
this.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, but this lady had 4 bees living in her eye.
Yeah,
like,
I can't wait to debunk this and like, shit all over Nick for bringing it up while we were talking about a black hole, Nick. Don't you understand human wonder?
Honestly, I don't really care about this black hole. I want to talk about this beast.
You buried the lead here.
All right. So I do want to talk about the black hole because...
All right, fine. What?
I think there's something dead inside me, guys. It looks like...
Did it change you?
A really terrible photograph I took of the eclipse back when that happened. Or like when I would be like, whoa, the moon looks so cool when I was drunk. And then like I would look at the picture the next day that I took of the moon. And it's just like a blurry little tiny thing. Like
so
little...
no part of you is impressed that we have the first ever photo of a black hole?
No, why am I not? What is wrong
I feel
with
the
you?
Same way.
Yeah.
I'm broken
man.
Okay.
Broken human
I'm
being.
The same way. And I looked at it and I went, whatever.
Right?
So
what is
quickly.
Wrong with
and
us?
I feel terrible because I understand intellectually that the black hole is one of the greatest mysteries in space.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we have come to a moment where we have collaboratively aimed all of our telescopes at the shit and gotten our first image of this thing.
Right.
And my first reaction is like, yo, that looks like an out of focus picture of Sauron's eye.
Yeah.
Or some shit.
That's exactly. So.
Yeah, you would know. You guys are both clearly on the fucking dark side here.
Yeah, right?
We would.
It's like calling me. It's like, I'm nothing.
That's why you look down and you're like, yeah, what's up? That's my homie.
Yeah.
I know this.
Oh, this doesn't visit you in your dreams too?
So Robert Evans, host of Behind the Bastards, was in the office this morning and he said it filled him with wonder. Super producer Nick Stumpf agreed.
Yeah, it fills you with wonder as well?
I wouldn't say it fills me with wonder. I just was like, tight. Moved on with my life.
It's pretty tight.
I'm honestly already annoyed because of the meme treatment. Like, I feel like we can't have any cool news without me just seeing it too many times and then hating it.
So the first place Robert saw it was apparently within 31 minutes of
it
being discovered.
Goatsy.
It was on Goatsy, on the butthole part of Goatsy.
Sure it was. really creative meme work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just dogged meme work. Meme work. They're just like ready. Now...
Science-y do they have a template? They have a template.
Yeah, they're just like drop any circular.
Yeah, for the meme makers union.
But I like people have said that we've been ruined by movies because we're not impressed by it. But I feel like we've actually been ruined by science because they've been showing us like amazing images of what black holes might look like, I guess. I thought
so. Illustrators.
Yeah, like illustrators are
they're too good.
They're fucking it up for us. They're too imaginative. But so the thing that kind of made me come around on it, the glowy part is basically the place where all the they're using Radio, radio telescopes.
You're even losing sleep, so, like, dude, man, whatever.
So wait, how did they take the picture? Because my understanding is a black hole sucks everything in, right?
Right.
And so, how did they not suck in their camera? Is it far enough away?
Yeah, it was far.
Luckily, I've looked nothing up about this. I just saw it as Shrek's eyes, and I was like, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, great black hole. Moving on.
So the story of how they did it is actually cooler than the image to me.
It was a woman, right?
They said 120 different scientists working in a concert, so definitely a woman involved there to get all those people to work together, I'm sure. But that I'm sure that was sexist in some way. I apologize. but using radio telescopes from all over the world, they synced all the telescopes with an atomic clock so that they were, like, communicating in real time, essentially. And that enabled them to create a telescope that was essentially as big as our planet, which is what you need to be able to see this, because they said it is the equivalent of looking at something like a line drawn with a mechanical pencil in Los Angeles from New York is like how hard it was to find this thing. That's how small
it is. All right,
I'm
back.
Yeah. Now I like it. I needed the context to understand the impressiveness of it.
Yeah. So this black hole is different. Most black holes are the size of the city of Chicago. At most, this black hole is the size of the Earth's orbit. And it's in the center of a galaxy. So that's why they're able to even think about seeing it. But the nearest black hole to Earth would be being able to see a molecule through a telescope in Los Angeles from New York. So we're not there yet.
But we
are able to see the fucking mechanical pencil line.
All right, my bad, science.
Yeah, you did it. I'm just scared of it.
If this is how quickly we're able to break uncharted terrain, what am I going to see before I die? And do I want to see it? In a way, I kind of feel like ignorance is bliss when it comes to space stuff. It's very scary.
Yeah.
Hey, if we're lucky, we might see the world end.
Oh, God.
If we're lucky, through a telescope from New York.
Oh, shit. Yeah, but, right? Isn't that a thing where you can, see... I guess you see the past of other galaxies, not our own.
Yeah, I saw Interstellar. Right.
Yeah.
So, if you think about it, though, love is the one thing that that transcends both time and space. All right, but let's get to the really important news, which is the Wall Street Journal has put their foot down. Fuck off with all your new yogurt brands, they say.
The article is called Yogurt Sales Sour as Options Proliferate.
Oh, I'm upset.
Shit. Now, this is just something to chew on, okay?
We're better yet.
The average U.S. supermarket carries 306 different yogurt varieties. That's up 4% since 2015. Now, meanwhile, overall yogurt sales have fallen 6% by volume in the year through February, according to Nielsen data. And sales of Greek yogurt, which kickstarted the category's explosive growth, fell 11%. So we're kind of in a world where we're still unveiling new kinds of fucking yogurt, despite the lack of enthusiasm for yogurt. Because I used to just eat Yoplait as a kid.
Mm.
And,
which flavor?
The Tahitian vanilla one, or vanilla or whatever
classic.
It was. Yeah, vanilla. And then, the banana cream one. I used to fuck with that one, too. And that used to be it. That was fine. I was into that. And then there were so many more yogurts have hit the scene, and I just don't know what the fuck is up. I'm actually burnt out from the amount of options that I have, personally.
Yeah, Gert
but
burn.
I love you. Yeah, Gert burn. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I want to know more about what the differences are in the new types of yogurts, because to me, as a vegan person, I'm like, bring them on. Yeah. I'm still looking for a good non-dairy yogurt.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
So the influx is benefiting me greatly.
Have you tried the coconut yogurt?
Yeah, I just tried this one. I think it's called Kalina, and it's crazy accurate, but it's basically just a can of coconut milk. So I'm kind of like one is 122% of your daily saturated fat. And I'm like, that's a big investment.
Right. Maybe too much.
Maybe a little bit.
How much sugar
in
that one, too?
Barely any,
which is also
something I'm looking for, because they have so much sugar in so many of them.
Right.
Right.
It's like, what's the point of the probiotics? You're going to give me candida. Get off me.
Right.
Yeah, Yoplait, the stuff that I thought I was eating that was like health food growing up, the Yoplait, the little Yoplait things were just like melted ice cream, basically.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Same with Go-Gurt.
Yeah.
Oh, hell
Go-Gurt
yeah,
was apparently not a health food.
A creamy Otter Pop? Get out of here.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I remember I think at one of the AIDS walks in LA, it was the debut of Go-Gurt. They were handing it out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was in fourth grade or something, and I was like, yo, dad, go get me
was
some more
hot?
Of those Go-Gurts. No, they had them out of coolers.
Oh, thank
God. Yeah, I wasn't like, oh, could you imagine? I'm like, Go-Gurt. It burned my mouth. This Go-Gurt burned
That's
my
like
mouth.
The thing that they get wrong. They're like, hot, piping hot Go-Gurt.
They love it.
They're like, oh, apparently people wanted it cold.
Yeah.
Just to give you a little, you know, primers, Greek-style yogurt is strained, right? They strain the cultured milk through like a cloth. And get rid of all the
liquid. Are you asking us? You have the laptop.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because you're asking all the differences.
Oh, you're telling me. Okay,
right. It's Greek, right? Okay. Still, but still.
It's
know,
like
dairy.
A centrifuge, right? Like they spin it around really fast
the
and
plasma,
the water
right?
like sure, separates out. Strained, I'm pretty sure that's right. And a weird thing about that is I interviewed a dude who like worked with the runoff from that yogurt. Apparently, like the runoff from Greek yogurt.
Said.
Is like the worst thing. It's like incredibly
radioactive.
Toxic. Yeah, really? It's like really toxic. And like the like solid this guy was doing for the environment was taking that and brewing beer with it. But like that
Holy shit.
Because like otherwise it just like gets dumped somewhere and it's like just
what
kills
could be toxic
everything.
About yogurt water?
I don't know.
I'm you so would, confused.
I was confused too.
Okay,
but yeah.
Okay. Shout out that guy.
You know about Icelandic skyr?
Is that like sheep milk?
I think this one also uses non-fat milk.
Huh.
I think probably cow milk also. I mean, look, if you're if you're Icelandic and I'm fucking this up, just holler at me. Look, I'm sorry. But
skyr
has, I think the thing that's different about that one is that it's like there's so much protein in it.
Whoa.
That like the kind of mythology is like, yeah, man, you know, that's what helped the Vikings fucking their thing. Or they're using that. And then there's like Australian yogurt, like Noosa. Too,
oh,
and I'm
seen
like,
that
what the
one.
Fuck is that? And again, and they had an H down there.
Yeah,
in Australia, sorry. And that one is big because it's made with full fat milk for a richer, more indulgent taste. Sorry. Strap in. And then there's French yogurt, which is kind of like Yoplait, and that's just, I guess their method is just called cup settling.
I wonder
oh,
what
okay.
cup
the...
setting.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. They put the probiotics in the cup, seal it, and then let it do its thing.
It does its thing.
Oh, it's like beer.
I wonder what the call of the yogurt is to like manufacturers. They're just like yogurt. That's
oh,
like,
you haven't heard it?
Yeah.
So you guys get visited by Sauron.
Yogurt,
right? That's what I'm getting.
You're hearing the call of the yogurt.
The probiotics.
The call
lactis.
To start your own yogurt.
Yeah.
Acidophilus.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And Bernie has unveiled, also unveiled his Medicare for All bill.
Yeah. Got the latest version out.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, okay, what's he got? What's different than the last time? Because 2017, he had a bill that was sort of the same thing. Very similar. You know, this is, again, wants to move everything to a single payer system that essentially just does away with the private insurance companies who are giving us like sort of a band-aid patchwork of coverage just put it all into a single payer system that is ran by the government, but has added even more benefits to this. Most notably, like we would cover long-term care like nursing homes and fund home and community-based care also.
Wow.
Which is actually kind of like even in Canada, there's no like consistent funding for that kind of thing.
So it's comprehensive.
So, you know, he's taking it up a notch. The one thing, though, around it is that in the bill, there is no section about funding and how that's going to work. We've always talked about how this is Medicare for All is we know we have the will to do it, but it's a very complicated thing because we're trying to dismantle decades old, fucked up, predatory systems and figuring out how to do people who may lose their jobs, who work for private insurance providers, what happens to them. There's so many moving pieces, but he did have a separate proposal that was just sort of talking about different finance options, which would include raising marginal income tax rates, making the estate tax more progressive, and just savings from general health tax expenditures. But the thing that it's really stressing is that we're now shifting all of the cost really from just the consumers to the government now. It's like sort of being like, that's all it is.
Right.
We're just
That'd
saying,
be, in my opinion, tight.
Yeah.
That sounds, dare I say, good.
Oh, well, you know, I think everyone, look, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, Kirsten Gillibrand, they're all backing it. But we'll see. I mean, it's the execution part that I think is going to be the real hard part because that's going to require a lot of, you know, nuanced problem solving. And figuring out how to like maneuver it politically too.
Yeah, and even with like the best case scenario, they can get this through and whatever. Like, no matter what the outcome, restructuring is gonna suck for a while.
Yeah.
Like, it would be shitty in the short term, great in the long term. But there's gonna be like a rough couple of years of like trying to make that happen, even if we could get that to happen.
Yeah, and I think that's why I think it's like one of those things we all know we like the sentiment.
Yeah.
Right.
But how do we actually we have to begin thinking of like how do we really get this done in a way that
it's like when your friend's like, we should hang later, and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
We should hang later. And then totally. You just never do because making it happen is hard.
Right. Or like when you're in college and you go out and you're like, yo, let's go, like, yo, we're gonna get some chicks.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, right.
So first, let's get some food.
What do we do?
And then we'll talk there.
Right. Then we'll game plan there.
All right, we'll figure it out then. And then you cut to us coming home being like, yeah, dude, I don't know. We shouldn't go to
We should play
anymore.
Grand Theft Auto for a bit and then figure it out.
They do mention, though, doing away with private insurance and like the health care provided by employers and all that shit. In the bill.
I mean, essentially, that's like, the vision that it's trying to give us is a true government-operated system where, the coverage is all the same, the costs are all the same,
right.
We're subsidizing
pharmaceutical
or prescription drugs and things like that.
That does seem to be the one, like, sort of wedge that the Republicans are able to kind of get at is that when you ask people, would you be willing to give up your current insurance to support Medicare for All? It becomes not a majority
right.
who support it. But at the same time, it's...
Wait, is it... How can you know that? You poll the whole country, you're saying there are more people that have good employer insurance than not? That feels wrong for me.
Yeah, I do think that's true, that there's like a wording issue, because if you're like, give up your insurance, that's like inherently people...
I
pay out of pocket. I would love to not do that anymore.
Yeah, and even people who... are like have shitty insurance through their employer,
right?
Like they, it's
vision, dental,
right? The question starts from the premise of give up your insurance. It's like, well, I rely on that for the livelihood of my family, so no, I don't want to do anything that involves giving up. But if you're like, would you rather get better insurance from the government
for free,
right? Then I feel like that might be a way to change that.
So you're saying it's framing.
I do think it's framing, but that does seem to be like the people who are in the know, like the realist Democrats who come back and they're like, this is never going to happen. Like, stop even pretending it.
But also check who they're getting their campaign finance, their donations from.
Yeah, but even like people who are like more centrist Democrats, like not politicians, but like...
pundits?
Yeah, pundits.
I don't trust
them
anymore.
Yeah, just people. They all point to this... this poll, and I feel like it's...
Well, I think, sure, you can point to that poll, but if the legislators are actually doing the work of problem-solving how we logistically do this, then I think that becomes moot, because if there is an idea that people can look at and go, oh, that's clear, that makes sense, this is how we handle the issue that could surround what happens to the secondary fallout of destroying the private insurance industry and, like, all the economy of that and all these other things, then it might be a little bit easier to wrap your head around. But all we have is Obamacare...
Yeah.
And people started going, oh, well, you know, that didn't happen quite the way it needed to.
It's weird how much we're just like, I mean, as a country, like hypothesizing. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really have anything set in stone yet. So, like, it's cool that they're starting to have those conversations. But I would love to just pause the conversation until we have more information, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's why, again, people are slowly trying to figure out, you know, wrap their heads around how to do it in the way that actually, you know, creates the benefits that they're advocating for.
Yeah.
Right.
And that shitty... Obamacare that everybody hates so much, people still don't want to do away with it. Like, people are still reliant on it. So, I mean, like...
Just never get sick.
Right.
Never love anyone that ever gets sick.
Yes, right. Exactly.
And you'll be fine.
And
don't age.
And also be able to afford to live.
Right. Yeah. It's there that simple.
Come on, guys.
I'm so glad we broke it down.
So, with Obamacare, he was trying to have, like, a single-payer model, but the problem was there was so much resistance from the right to do anything like that, he just had to cave to the demands, and we just got this watered-down version.
Well, I also don't think that it helped that the people who were actually drawing up Obamacare, like, doing the technical work of writing the plan, were, like, people, veterans of the insurance industry.
Right.
So, like, they weren't letting anything that was going to put a lot of people out of work come to pass. So, like, I understand the concern, right? Super producer Nick was pointing out that when people picture government-provided healthcare, they're probably picturing the DMV or the post office or, you know, other government-run institutions. This would require a sea change where you know, a lot of the really talented people who work in the insurance industry fucking people over suddenly move to the public sphere and start like building up a system that actually helps people. This has been a thing that like I've talked about. Like a lot of the smartest people that I knew in like high school and college all went into just like ways to make money that weren't constructive in any way whatsoever to people. And it's like, that needs to be a shift. We need our talent going towards like building things constructively and like working in some sort of public service. And like, you know, the
whole
system.
Are you talking about capitalism in general right now?
Well, but it's like, there are forms of capitalism that like at least aren't like so hostile towards like society that, like,
yeah, but we've crossed the Rubicon. We've crossed the Rubicon.
Right, I'm saying we have to come back across that Rubicon. Yeah. And like, it would be a total sea change. Like, it just pointing to the DMV is like, yeah, well, that's like,
you also got to point to cops and firefighters too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they,
I wouldn't mind a firefighter style doctor. That'd be sick. I want a poll in the doctor's office.
All your doctors are firefighters. They're wholly unqualified to deal with your issues. So.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on here? I don't know. It could be candida or something.
Do you want to play with the hose?
Yeah.
Right.
Feel how heavy this jacket is. You wouldn't believe it, huh?
Guys, I want to talk about Unplanned, is it called? Yes, Unplanned. Opening to audiences of right-wing Christians, Unplanned. Shocked everybody by coming in fourth at the box office a couple weeks ago. Still out here filling up theaters, or not necessarily filling it up, filling up entire rows of theaters with right-wing people who don't necessarily have that many movies made that get them going politically.
Well, luckily they have PureFlix.
Right.
The production
PureFlix
company.
Is the production company behind this movie.
They made the God's Not Dead series. And also other Christian films like Holy Man Undercover, you know, the story of a missionary.
One of my favorites.
Who's corrupted by Hollywood into becoming an actor and playing Satan.
Right.
So, you know, they know the market.
Yeah.
Someone goes to Hollywood. Literally, the concept is so on the nose of like what like an ultra conservative Christian would think. It's like, you go to Hollywood as a missionary. Next thing you know, you're Satan.
Right. Yep.
Because Hollywood.
Man, that's just how it works.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. So this production company is funded by the dude behind that MyPillow company, isn't it?
Well, this film, I don't know if he is involved with PureFlix exactly, but yes, he's definitely Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy.
What's MyPillow?
It's that stupid, that's an infomercial, the dude talking about his fucking pillow.
Okay.
It's whatever. And people just know him as the MyPillow guy.
Got it.
And he's like a, you know, huge, rabid Trump supporter. And he put a little cash down to fund this weird hit job on
Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and people's ability to choose, you know, how they want
reproductive rights.
Yeah, how they want to deal with their own body.
Yeah. Right.
And just a side note, the MyPillow guy, he was sued for lying about the pillows. So, just
so you know. they are not, in fact, his pillows.
They're not his. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they sued over. Your Honor, I don't think these are his pillows, actually.
So the movie is based on the memoir of Abby Johnson, former Planned Parenthood employee who left the company and became a pro-life advocate. And there are all sorts of, you know, journalistic questions that have been raised about her memoir.
Yeah.
For instance, the big like turning point for her is she like at the abortion clinic, a doctor's like, hey, we need an extra hand for this abortion in here. Why don't you come in? And she comes in and like the fetus is like running away from the needle, like and like squirming in pain and like things that doctors are like, no, at that stage, the fetus would not be able to feel like process pain, but
or
she,
that a doctor would say, hey, we need an extra set of hands in here.
Hey,
that's something I hear doctors say.
Hey,
all
new
the
kid.
Time.
Hey, new kid. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, greenhorn.
And there were apparently like things going wrong behind the scenes between her and management. And so,
anything, because it's criminally underfunded.
Right.
I don't think it has anything to do with abortion, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, whole trailer is so manipulative, though.
Yeah. So
that's
we watched
the
trailer.
Of the game.
Of course.
We watched the trailer. It is Amazing.
It's a tour de sob. We saw, I counted 13 contorted crying faces of women, like when the word abortion was like even mentioned.
Tight.
And it was made sort of like meant to just look like this horror film.
Huh.
With like, there were like women who were like in the Planned Parenthood who were like just in like hospital gowns and like drugged up like zombies walking around. And like, it looked
How did they shoot in a Planned Parenthood?
Well, it was just a set of like a medical office.
Oh, it's not. Yeah, it is definitely not a documentary.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
No, it is the most sensational, overly dramatic garbage
propaganda
film.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is...
Why even talk about it then?
Because it's just one of these things that like, it was slowly becoming this thing that people were like, yep, this is the film people need to see.
If you can't identify truth, then I don't know what we could say that would change your mind. If you ignore science to perpetuate your own ideas based on nothing, that's, I don't know. What can you say to that person?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, look, if you're not moved, there is a scene, and I just want to, just tell me if this moves you. The MyPillow guy, he's actually also in the film.
Oh, nice.
And there is the climax of the film features the MyPillow guy wearing an American flag hard hat and bulldozing a Planned Parenthood.
Now, what's that supposed to symbolize? It?
No. After. No, just after.
I thought it was like a terrorist attack.
Oh, no.
Okay.
But again, it's just, and I think he said in the seat, he says, I've been waiting for this my whole life.
Nice.
Blatant disregard of women's health.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Tight. You know Planned Parenthood does other stuff predominantly,
right? No, exactly. And I think that's what this whole thing is about. It's really just to, I think, you know, get their base real riled up about it. Because there was a state legislator in Texas who just reintroduced a bill that would give the death penalty to women. Yeah. Who,
right, because you care about the babies more than the women.
Hey,
to make it as clear as possible for us. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a scene where, like, the head of Planned Parenthood is yelling at her for, she's like, you need to get your abortions up. We need more abortions.
Right.
It's like, it's, it
like
is
a fucking
just,
car lot or
right,
something.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
also, another thing, the there's like a lot of gore in it because they're trying to be just affect the viewer.
Yeah, it got an R rating.
And then they're like, oh, this is a conspiracy against us. It's like, no, it's because it's fucking so gory. What the fuck do you think this is?
Yeah, it's fucked up. And we have to talk about it because it's in the zeitgeist.
I can't believe it was fourth at the box office.
Yeah.
But I guess
whose box office?
America's box
America's.
Office.
Wow, yeah. That's, man. People, can you read books written by a like third-party people? Can you just do me that favor?
Nah, but you don't know. They're liberal bias, you know. They're trying to push the liberal agenda. And like that is the thinking of them. So everyone, too, even on the left, people get everything's so split.
Yeah.
It's like, I can only listen to people who are going to say the thing I need.
Exactly. I respect the difference in opinion when your opinion is based on facts.
Right, rather than like emotional or whatever, yeah.
Are based on propaganda bullshit, we can't even have a conversation. So what's the point?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Whatever. It's fine. It's fine. It's not fine. I'm mad. It's fine.
And speaking of right-wing propaganda, the president tweeted a 2020 campaign video. It's posted. He got it from R the Donald, and it was immediately taken down because it took its soundtrack from the Dark Knight franchise, from Hans Zimmer's score. And this once again proves that the president thinks he is Batman. He is obsessed with Batman. Believes Batman is a real person.
Someone probably just was playing in the other room. Was like, "What was that?"
Yeah,
is like, "Is that the Batman theme?"
Yep,
that's a video for me. Oh, we're posting that.
I'm starting to get the sense that there's not a lot of like upper level creatives on the right wing.
Oh no.
Between that movie and then this music, I'm like, do you not have people that can make original content for you?
Well, I think that's inherently the thing, right? Like, you need a bit of empathy to actually be a good artist.
Right. It is really like, how do they look at that? How are they like,
we're still the good
why can't we make a good movie or
right? And even we've talked about the alt-right songs that like are just garbage fires. The
art,
if
it
is
slaps, we can talk.
Yeah,
right.
No, I mean, have you heard It's Okay to Be White? That was a track from like this dude in England. The English actually, it was a little more synthy.
I can't believe they haven't done a parody version of Kendrick Lamar, We Gonna Be All White.
Yeah,
that's right there.
We gonna be alt-right.
Right wing, take it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
right there.
Can you hear me? Do you feel me?
Do they think that their art is as good and we just ignore it because of our
I don't think
like Hollywood bias? Or
probably.
Do they Do they think that...
I don't think they look at it as art. They're just like salvos in the culture war.
Right.
And it's like, it doesn't matter if it's good or bad objectively. It's like, are people talking about it? And right. It's that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, their favorite album is probably just something like 60 minutes of white noise.
I bet it's the Eagles.
Right.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
feels
Eagles.
Like the
yeah.
Eagles.
Yeah. That's what the showdown between Thriller and Greatest Hits of the Eagles.
Is that what it really is about?
Yeah. It's always back and forth between those two. And it's
greatest selling albums.
Yeah. And it's a... It follows who wins the election.
Hey, man, that Hell Freezes Over tour, though.
Oh, brother. That Don Henley, man.
It's funny because I don't listen to the Eagles because of the Big Lebowski. He's like, I hate Don Henley, man.
Yeah.
And I was like, at the time, I didn't know enough Eagles songs. I was like, yeah, all right, cool. The dude doesn't fuck with the Eagles, me either.
Yeah. I really don't fuck with the Eagles, though.
I don't know a single Eagles song. Is that bad?
You know Hotel California.
I do not.
You?
Yeah.
No, Mio, you do.
I swear to God, I've heard the version from Big Lebowski,
right.
Like the flamenco or whatever
oh,
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I do not know the original song. I do not. And I refuse to at this point in my life.
Wow.
that is probably why.
Bassline kind of grooves, though. You know.
I mean, they probably shred, honestly. I'll just take your word for it. That's what it sounds like.
You got so animated.
What are the hits? What are the hits, dude?
Running down the road trying to loosen my load. I had 7 women on my mind.
What?
That's not real.
That's the
opening
line.
Oh, yeah, take it easy.
Take it easy. Take it easy.
That is it.
Okay, super producer Nick Stump has just more breaking news. There is a statue in Winslow, Arizona that plays Take It Easy on loop 24 hours a day. I'm getting that correct? It's a statue of some... It's based on the song. So the statue is based on the song and has that on a loop. That sounds like an eternal hellscape.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
you can
probably
check out any time you'd like, but you can never leave, Miles.
But this is for Take It Easy, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
this is just a reference to another Eagles.
Okay,
lyric,
but
I'm just flowing here, okay?
Hey, you know, I'm respecting the source material here.
Okay,
you know
my
I mean?
Bad, my bad. Glenn Frey's The Heat Is On, though. That song fucking slaps.
Is that an Eagles song?
The heat
no,
is on.
Yeah.
That's
me and my son's
holy shit.
Jam right now.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you trying to make him into a Wall Street
because
bro from the 80s?
Because I literally said the heat is on. He was like asking if the heat was on like a couple months
ago.
Oh,
and you sang it back to
him? I said the heat is on and then started singing that. And then we listened to it. And now that's the only song he wants to hear. And I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah. And
that's
now he's
beautiful.
The biggest Eagles fan.
Now he's like, oh, man.
You got to take him to Winslow.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
He doesn't like all Eagles stuff, right?
Okay, good.
Like right. Some Hawks.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and so is Game of Thrones in a couple days, and they're saying that it is going to be viewed by 1 billion people.
Are you serious?
Billion with a
that's
B.
That's so many.
That this first episode is going to gain, what?
Yeah, like around the world. Because so apparently sense, this I is guess. Like one of those shows that actually translates to other countries because it's like all action and sex and stuff like that. So,
dragons. Stuff from our everyday lives.
Yes. Stuff that
slave armies
knows no language.
You know? And have been freed, but you know.
So yeah, and it's also got the thing that happened to Breaking Bad where like nobody was really watching it the first couple seasons, but then everybody streamed and caught up on it. So the last season was like this big event.
Right, right, right.
Like it's that, but times a billion or however many.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, you know, because earlier we were like, we've hit peak Game of Thrones merch and weird cross promotion shit.
The Oreo manufacturers are looking at some stats that impress them because, yeah,
they probably saw
Game of Thrones is everywhere.
There's a Game of Thrones Oreo?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What flavor is it?
It's regular, just the
regular.
Cookies embossed with a different, you know.
They couldn't give us a special flavor?
I know.
I want to eat a dragon.
I know. Well, if you go to Shake Shack and order in Valerian in New York, they have their own menu.
Oh, my God.
But you have to order in Valerian.
Why is it that when things get this popular, I hate them even if I like them? You
right.
Know what I mean?
And that's where we kind of got with all the merch. We're like, okay, I like the show and I just want it to be cool, but like we're doing too much. You already have like 900 Adidas shoes that are Game of Thrones based.
I feel like it's also the bigger the show gets, the less likely they are to just like punch you in the gut with the ending or like do something that's like really creative with the ending. Like instead, it's got to be, it goes from being like in the early seasons, it was like made to like fuck with you a little bit. And like lately, it feels like it's made more with like a Hollywood ending in mind type
thing. I feel like you could summarize it by saying it was made for nerds and now it's made for jocks.
Right.
It just is a different show now.
You watch Thrones? You guys want to come over and have a Thrones party?
What about that zombie polar bear?
The Kingslayer.
Yeah, that's fucking sick,
dude. Jon Snow is so tight.
Dude, that fucking dragon, dude, that shit's fucking ill, dude.
Not enough titties anymore.
Dude, yeah, exactly, dude. There's like fucking,
I miss Joffrey, bro, those tits.
Joffrey. Joffrey was sick.
Oh, man, you know like they're guys like, who they're like dude, that's how I would do it, dude. Right. Joffrey's fucking cutthroat, dog.
Yeah, like the dudes, I knew jocks in college who were unironically into American Psycho, like would be like watching. Right. And be like, yo, isn't this
that's
tight?
So many people.
They're like, I flex up in the mirror when I fuck too.
Right.
Oh my God.
So one thing that just in the loads and loads of Game of Thrones coverage that has been happening for the past like 3 weeks, one thing I didn't realize is that they shot the pilot for Game of Thrones with the director Tom McCarthy, I think his name is, from who made Spotlight. And they spent $20 million on it. Showed it to HBO, and HBO was like, this is not good.
Because it was too dorky? What?
The casting was all wrong.
Oh, shit.
It just didn't work. So they recast like 8 of the roles, hired a different director, and remade 90% of the pilot.
Holy shit.
And the original director says, I will never forget being invited to the premiere of the first season. I went in just thinking skeptically, well, I guess we'll see how this goes. I sat there and the show unfolds and I'm stunned. And I very specifically remember walking out and I said to Weiss and Benioff, that is the biggest rescue in Hollywood history, because it wasn't just that they had saved something bad and turned it really good. You had saved a complete piece of shit, the pilot that he had made, and turned it into something brilliant. That never happens.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I feel so bad for those actors that were like, I could have been on Game of Thrones.
Oh, this makes sense now, because I see people always commenting like, "When we want to see that fucking pilot."
Yeah, yeah.
I really need to see that
apparently
shit.
Apparently, you do not want to see that pilot.
I mean,
no, but I do.
I do.
Yeah.
I really do.
I love a mess.
I love it.
Yeah.
Just a total
but it is,
mess.
It's also like tonally, like it. They had to get it so exactly right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I wonder what it was like before.
Yeah. They said, I think they said like some of the scenes were melodramatic, and then you couldn't tell that Jaime and Cersei were twins. Were siblings.
Oh, right.
So, like, that's just like a big point that you're missing there.
Right. Like the original person playing Cersei was like a Puerto Rican actress or something. Like, she does not look like Jaime at
but
all.
It's just funny because they're like, you know, such just beloved showrunners at this point, and they totally like had arguably one of the biggest fuck ups in TV show making history. Like that's how the show
the polar
started.
Bear. No, I'm kidding. The polar bear was fucked up though. I hated that.
Ugh.
Oh, also, there's a Game of Thrones album coming out.
What?
For the final season.
If you didn't need, yeah. There's like a track that is, it's The Weeknd, SZA, and Travis Scott.
Wait, not even like Ramin, what's his name? The composer guy?
No, like they have like.
Songs.
This has motherfucking Mumford and Sons.
ASAP Rocky?
ASAP Rocky, Ellie Goulding, Jacob Banks, James Arthur, Joey Badass, Lennon Stella, The Lumineers.
Okay, you don't
have
Lumineers and Mumford and Sons. What's happening?
They're the same
thing. They're the same band.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see. I mean,
no, they collaborate
on
the song. It's amazing.
Oh, right.
They should just do The Light of the Seven over and over and over again, and that should be this album, because that song fucking rules.
Yeah.
Their composer doesn't need the help of the Lumineers.
But again, it's just about like, how else can we make some money off this shit? Oh, make an album, too, for people to buy.
I'm starting to think capitalism's gone too far. I don't
know.
It's just a hunch. It's just a hunch. I don't know.
Ugh. You don't talk that shit on this show.
You're right. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
All right. Let's check in with the markets, guys. Looks like... No. and then there's a story that has been circulating ever since Avengers tickets went on sale that I just wanted to kind of punch a hole in. This is something you see a lot. The idea that... Oh my God, people are selling Avengers tickets and buying Avengers tickets for like $15,000 and like tickets going for insane prices. Like, so the way that people like write these stories is they just find on eBay like the craziest bid and print that as if it's real. And like a lot of times it's like not.
Slow news day.
Yeah, just bullshit.
Just, yeah, I mean, also, who the fuck is going to spend the $15,000? I mean, is it like because it's so sold out?
It's not. That's
what
thing.
I mean.
Yeah, that's what
so it's like, how the, even if you were, if you had the means, you would first be like, well, where else is playing? Like, is it
I'll
playing
just before see I see it tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I'll go to a matinee.
Or I'm, watch this. I'll pull up somebody in line and be like, yo, I'll give you $100 for your ticket.
You know what we need is the secondary follow up article. It's like, this easy tip can save you $15,000.
Don't buy tickets. Your movie tickets on eBay.
Probably right. Written by the same person.
Right. It's a whole ecosystem of bullshit news stories. Miel, it has been such a pleasure having you.
Hey, thanks for having me. I always feel weird doing this because I'm just a person. I don't have a laptop or know anything you're talking about. So
no,
I'm surprised I was asked back. Thank you.
You know everything about the internet.
That's true.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Oh, at Miel or at Miel Monster on everything. YouTube,
at Miel or at Miel
Instagram,
Monster.
Twitter. What else is there? Facebook. Fuck, I don't know. All of them.
Pinterest,
yeah. Okay. I got some popping boards.
You do?
Yeah.
What kind of boards you got?
T-shirts. I have a whole board of just cool old t-shirts.
Oh,
cool,
the like retro shit t-shirts. That you're into? Okay.
Or interior design.
What's your aesthetic?
I don't know. If I had to describe it, I would say Scandinavian influence, but a little mid-century. And then overall, a lot of natural earth tones.
Okay, so it sounds like California coastal mid-century.
That's exactly what it is, California coastal.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like what, I hate saying this, but what Jennifer Aniston's house looks like in Malibu.
It's like if Jennifer Aniston meets Diane Lane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I guess in a word, white.
Yes.
Love Pinterest.
I have such a clear picture of that aesthetic now.
Have you heard of hygge?
Yeah, no, but I like the look that
the
came
Danish
over
concept
your face
of
when you
coziness.
Oh, is that
the there are whole books on it?
I have heard,
but
of
it's spelled hygge, right?
Hygge? I don't know.
Hygge, and then I've heard hygge.
It's more about the expression you make of confidence.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
But it's like one of those things when I first confident. Learned about it, I'm like, oh, that's me as it. Like I need this.
Hey, if you're a yogurt connoisseur, you're gonna love hygge.
Have you been to Denmark?
I've been to Copenhagen.
Yeah.
That's in Denmark.
Yeah.
Sure, I've been
there. I was
there
last summer. Man, I'm like, yeah, see, y'all get it over here.
Yeah, they kept their babies outside in, like, the carriage to sleep while they went in and ate at a restaurant.
Exactly.
What?
Isn't that wild?
Well, because there's no, like, they don't live with the threat of someone being like, yo, I'm taking off with your kid.
No. And also, they left them.
It
was winter. Yeah, they were like, they need to learn how to be cold.
What the fuck?
It was honestly awesome.
Their body needs to know how to fight off the winter.
Yeah.
That's fucking...
That's some real Game of Thrones shit.
That is amazing. I don't know any of those countries apart. Is that... That's not
problematic, That's actually
though.
Racist, and you're wrong.
For all the Scandinavian ones? I don't know. Everyone over there is white.
My people.
I feel okay. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yes, I wrote it down.
Yay.
It's from Hello Cullen. Cullen, I think Crawford's his last name. He's a writer.
I love Cullen.
Me, off my meds, pitching a cartoon movie. Okay, so you know how most toasters are cowards?
I think I've used that one before.
Really?
I love that
Shoot,
one
sorry.
So much.
I love
no,
that one.
We're just... Same.
It's funny.
Wavelength.
Sorry.
It is great. Miles, where can people find you?
So, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Two tweets I like are from Aparna Nancherla at Aparnapkin. One it just goes, who will save your soul?
Who will save your soul?
Another one is, because we're talking about capitalism. Capitalism feels like someone who would cancel plans with you 6 out of 7 times, and then the 7th talk about how busy they are for the entire hang.
I saw that this morning.
Yeah.
Hate those people. The people whose tweets you quoted. I hate both of them.
Aparna,
yes.
I mean, but that style, oh man, when you do hang out, I'm sorry, I'm so busy right now.
That's LA.
Yeah.
That's literally all of LA.
Well, it's funny because I grew up here, so a lot of my friends don't have that sort of
you're
shit
outside
about
the
them.
Culture.
But then I have people who, even despite that, are still kind of like just energy vampires.
So you should bleep that and make that memoir. Thanks.
Yeah.
Energy right. vampires.
Energy vampires growing up in the valley.
Billy Wayne Davis tweeted, baby boomers' parents won a war against fascists for freedom, but the boomers think they created freedom in the mud at a concert in upstate New York. And Jacqueline Novak tweeted, I hate the little joke when a group of people at a meal start eating when the food arrives and someone's like, we're all quiet now, hee hee, now that we're eating, hee hee, and people are like, hee hee.
Just facts. Just facts. All facts.
I love that. That is so annoying. I love Jacqueline Novak as a writer and a comedian. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
Let's do a track from Kata Juma, who is from, I want to say, England. Yeah, Bristol. Yes, by way of Mississauga. Mississauga. And it just kind of got a good vibe to it. I don't, you know, it reminds me of some like electronic shit, but there's something very human about it. It's called Calm Chi by Kata Juma.
All right, we are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Yeah, I see. Tools and an opportunity. In fact, you're cruising out too. How you going to make it to the league? Learn the tools, and if you do, find a crew that's about to dream. Fall through and calculate, that's how you do my G. Stay calm in pressure, they hype up in emotions. You nice and finessing, my mind is an ocean. Didn't let it get infected, I believe in you. Despite the oppression, like a flight but don't catch it. Ride your bike and pop wheelies, flight spike, who gets it? Kind remind when they see